I learned something a couple of years ago, that there are more churches in Las Vegas than casinos. And not surprising that when the collection is taken on Sunday morning or like this evening, many people would give casino chips rather than, you know, checks or dollars, as the case may be. And since these chips come from different casinos, the churches had to find a way to, let us say, sort these chips out to get them to the appropriate casino for reimbursement. So they came up with a nice way of sorting them by really sending them to a nearby Franciscan monastery to have the monks there sort the chips and then turn the chips into the respective casinos for cash. Now, what do you think you will call these monks that did all the sorting of these chipmunks? You got it, chipmunks. You are smart, the chipmunks. Sisters and brothers, now it is time for the offering. We will take chips as well, but whatever you have, let's give our gifts to God. The ushers are coming forward. Let us give our gifts.
Thank you. This evening, the scripture comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. The birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told of them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Number 217, would you please stand?
Laid down his sweet head.
stars in the sky looked out where he lay. For little Lord Jesus asleep on the hill. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender for heaven to live with thee there. Let us be seated. The story of Jesus' birth is settled truth for us as believers, for it is a story that is grounded in historical fact. We know when Jesus was born, in the days of Herod the Great, 37 BC to 84. We know where he was born, in Bethlehem. You can visit Bethlehem today. We know the people he came from, the Jewish people. His birth is rooted in historical fact. What we celebrate tonight is more than the birth of a child. It is the story of God taken on human flesh, yet remaining God and coming to this world. So it therefore tells us that there is another one out there, up there, beyond here, and that one has invaded this tiny planet of Earth. That one has come to us as the Son of God. So monumental was his birth that it split time in two. All history before his coming, B.C. before Christ, all history thereafter, A.D. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. So this is more than the year 2011. It is the year of our Lord, 2011. So Jesus' birth has meaning and consequences for each and every one of us. Given that, we ask ourselves, how did people receive him? Well, St. Luke tells us in the scripture you heard a while ago, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now Mary and Joseph had traveled at least about 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Traveling like that in her condition, or in under any circumstances, one would say, a person would want a very comfortable room to rest for the night. Don't you think so? Wouldn't you? Some of you would, I think. You'll want maybe a private room. How about that? You'll want that? And with a TV, right? And Wi-Fi, and a select comfort mattress. But for them that night, there was no room. No room in the inn. Now, they did not decide to occupy Bethlehem because they felt it was an injustice. They settled for the stable. Now, it is fashionable to blame the innkeeper for Jesus being born in a stable. I have a different way of looking at it. I think we should blame Mary and Joseph for that situation. Most men in the house would agree with me that just waiting for, you know, the lady to get ready, you're going to start out late, isn't it so? You're going to start late. Most men would agree with me, you can't drive as fast when a lady is in the car. Slow down, you know. Most men would agree with me that traveling with a lady, you have to make more frequent stops. You never rest station, stop and rest, you know. You're tired. Add it all up, you're going to arrive late. So by the time they arrive, all accommodations are taken. All that's left is the manger. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to let the innkeeper off the hook tonight. Not at all. He is responsible too. He's responsible because, first of all, he filled his inn with others, other people. This innkeeper seemed to have the policy, first come, first serve. Mary and Joseph got there late. Their place is taken by others. There is no room in the inn. And maybe he showed them around, you know. It looks like some of our homes tonight, a bed in every little place you could put one, extra furniture, the blankets, the comforters, just to accommodate people. So tonight as we celebrate Christmas, much of the world has no room for Jesus. Why? We have filled our lives with others, other things. Would you believe it? That tonight in a number of churches across the land, in order to increase attendance, churches have deliberately excluded the Christmas story. Oh yes, they are having children's pageants and productions, special music, photo-taking opportunities for families, social time, but we can't have the Christmas story. There is no room for him in the inn. A few years ago around Christmas time, an episode of the TV show Roseanne showed Roseanne in a strong discussion with her mother on the question is whether or not God exists. Her sister walks into the room in the middle of the conversation and she begins to whine. She says, come on, it's Christmas. Let's not be talking about God now. It's Christmas. And the audience roared with laughter. Why? They got it. They saw themselves in that statement. We keep God out of our lives. And so our lives are filled with others, other things, other ideas. We are full of stuff, right? The wrong stuff. There is no room for him. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, reflecting on the cruelty of Russian society under the Communist Party, once said, all this happened to us because we have forgotten God. The sole purpose of the Soviet government, he said, was to create an order to serve the nation's power-mongering leaders. Since they cared only about themselves, their government could be as cruel, as suspicious, and as tyrannical as they wanted it to be. We forgot God. And one day, friends, when the history of this period is told, and the truth is told, our grandchildren or great-grandchildren maybe will read about the moral decay of our times, the spiritual bankruptcy of our time, or financial meltdown, or untamed greed, and they would use similar words. We have forgotten God. Christmas is the time of peace on earth, but yet it's the time when we see the war on Christmas. There was no room for him in the inn. Why? He filled his inn with others. Christ was crowded out. No room. But secondly, why no room? The innkeeper failed to recognize that it was the Holy Family before him. Mary bearing the child and Joseph, he failed to recognize them. Now, some people say that he was just a cold-hearted capitalist, you know, like one of those Wall Street types looking for another bailout. The census came around every 14 years. For him, it was a time to make money, they would say. So for him, this was not the time for deeds of mercy or acts of charity. He simply said to them, there is no room for you. His rooms are for the VIPs, you know. The high Roman officials who pay good and tip well. And so that night, while chasing the almighty, ever elusive shekel, he failed to see before him the Christ of God. Sent them on, no room. But you may say to me, God gave the wise men, the magi, a star to follow to the Christ. God sent an angel to the shepherds. God could have given this man some kind of, you know, hint, you know, miracle to let him know this is Jesus. Since when we need miracles to do the right thing? A nun who worked as a home health care provider was on her way home after her work, and her car ran out of gasoline. Fortunately for her, not far she could see a gasoline station. But like most of us, she doesn't have an approved container for gasoline in her vehicle. But she has one thing, a bedpan. Bedpan. So she got the bedpan and went off to the service station and filled it with gasoline, came back, opened the tank, and began to pour the gasoline in. At that time, a police officer pulled up and he looked at her, a nun. He said, "Sister, if that car starts, I promise you, I will be in church every Sunday for the rest of my life." Since when we need a miracle to do the right thing? Here is the Holy Family. He doesn't recognize them. He turns them away. I want to let you know that tonight you're in the Lord's house. Amen? This is the place that we meet God and God meets us. This is the place where God speaks to us. Listen carefully. Distinguish his voice from mine. He doesn't speak with an accent, you know. Do not fail to recognize that God is here tonight speaking to you. Don't turn him away. The innkeeper did not recognize Jesus. Keep moving. Do you sense God's presence here tonight? Do you hear His voice? Do you feel something special in your soul? It is the Lord. Open wide your heart and let Him in. God is in this place. Do not mistake it. If you feel touched in your soul, He is touching you. If your conscience is stirred, He is stirring it. Do not fail to recognize His presence. If you do, you turn Him away. When we fill our lives with others, when we fail to recognize God's presence, and so turn Him away, in the third place, we forfeit the blessing. When the innkeeper said no to Joseph and Mary and the Christ, he did not just turn away some late arrivals from Nazareth. He shut out of his inn the one who claimed to be the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, and the Savior of the world. No religious leader has ever claimed to be God. Not Moses, Muhammad, Buddha, whoever. Only Jesus of Nazareth claimed to be very God of very God, and He proved it by dying and rising again. The bottom line, friends, is this. No one can turn Jesus away without losing His blessing. Every religion has something to offer us. Every religion has its own special stuff. Every religion has its brand. I have the Methodist brand. What brand do you have, huh? The Baptist brand? Presbyterian brand, Roman Catholic brand, we have our brand. Our sisters and brothers, there is only one brand that has the power to save the soul. Only one brand that gives us a place in heaven. It is the Jesus brand. How do I get it? Open wide your heart. I'm trying to say there are some blessings that only Jesus can give. Why? He is the Son of God. And so He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. And so tonight He is here knocking on the door of our lives, wanting to get in. He wants to bring His life into our life. He wants to bring His truth into our minds. He wants to bring His power to our wills, His passion to our emotions. Open wide your heart and let Him in. And so maybe you came here tonight just to celebrate Christmas the usual way, to go back to your usual life. But I say, not so fast. Christmas is about you and for you. Yes. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to let Him in? Or leave Him out? He is the Son of God. You're here tonight. He speaks to you as the old American Express commercial used to say, don't leave here without him. But you may ask, well, what would he do for me? I open my heart and let him in. What would he do for me? Everything. What do you want? Are you looking for forgiveness? Looking for forgiveness? He is the one who said, the Son of Man has power on earth and in heaven to forgive sins. Let him in. Do you want inner peace? He says, my peace I give to you. I don't give it as the world gives. Open your heart. Let him in. Do you want to get rid of guilty feelings, bad feelings, painful memories? Open your heart. Let him in. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in. Sisters and brothers, that is Christianity. Not coming to church and acting religious, that is Christianity. Open the door, I will come in. He left heaven, he came to earth, that he may enter our lives. Tonight, you are the innkeeper. You are the innkeeper of your own life. He knocks. You may show him in or shut him out. Let every heart prepare him room. He knocks. Open wide your heart. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Amen. Amen. We sing, O little town of Bethlehem. At this time, the ushers will come and take a light from the altar candles, come down the aisle. The person at the end of the pew, center side, will receive a light. You pass the light along. And when we have about finished this, we will go into singing Silent Night, Holy Night. These two pieces should be on the overhead, the screen for you.
And praise the Savior.
let's bow our heads together briefly. After you extinguish the candles, let's bow our heads together. And let us reflect on this. To you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Lord, we're here before you now, celebrating your birth. We pray that you'll be born afresh in our lives. We open our hearts to receive Christ the Lord, to make him head of our house, head of our lives, that he will come in and reign and rule. We open our hearts to receive Christ the Lord. Amen. So this means, friends, as we go forward, we may have to keep removing some of the things in our lives that shouldn't be there to make room for him. We may have to replace some of the old things with new things. As we're on the verge of a new year, we may want to do some new things. Like make it a duty to have an appointment with God every day, to live for him, sometimes to read the scriptures, sometimes to meditate and pray each day. You may want to make it a practice going into the new year to make worshiping in the house of God, whether here or somewhere else, a regular part of your life. You see, once we let him in, we have to keep him in. We want to do our part to share the good news, to let others know that Christ has come. He has come to come in. Once he comes in, he makes a difference in our lives. Again, we thank you for coming. And we are going to be back within a couple hours, right? Faithful members, somebody asked me about having service tomorrow. Can't believe it. I said, is the Lord's Day? He said to me, it is his birthday. Well, we have a better reason to be here tomorrow, right? Birthday, the Lord's Day. If you can't be here, you should be in the Lord's house worshiping and praising him. On behalf of my wife, Joan, and myself, I want to wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas, very blessed holiday season. May God be with you and yours in a very special way. Number 246, joy to the world, the Lord has come.